B-Pod Studios.
Welcome in, everybody, and good morning. If you listen closely, you can hear the rest of the NFC East basking in a dumpster fire. It is just beautiful. The Redskins have been a dumpster fire really since Daniel Snyder bought the team. You know, since Snyder bought the team, that they have just three double-digit win seasons? That's since the 1999. 20 years. Just three 10 or more win seasons. So they are what they are. Landon Collins spent a lot of money for his safety. Good for you. That's nice. They bring in Case Keenum as their quarterback. And then the New York Giants decide to trade away Odell Beckham Jr. from the NFC East. Thank you. Thank you, Dave Gettleman. Thank you, you beautiful, beautiful man, you. Here's my night, all right? I watched the Sixers. I couldn't believe what I was watching when I watched a team turn the ball over 21 times against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I think it was 22.
Maybe.
It was over 20.
It was over 20.
Yeah.
It was an abysmal game when it came to sloppiness.
Yeah.
They came out and they're like, oh, okay, they're doing what they should be doing against the Cavs. That's nice. A little James Ennis start. Ah, oh, good for you, man. And then the rest of the game happened. And am I wrong, Bob? The first half, no free throws?
Yeah.
Nine turnovers and no free throws.
Oh, no. The first half, it was 14 turnovers, right?
Yeah, I think it was that many in the first
half.
14 turnovers in the first half.
Yeah. Good Lord.
You know, I found myself earlier today like, okay, they won the game. Don't be that. Oh, what's going on? I don't like the way they're playing right now at all.
You shouldn't like the way they're playing. I love Joel Embiid really closing out the game. That was great to see because that's what your MVP
should have been closed out in the first half.
It should have been. But, you know, when your teams are going to struggle and you are going to play down to opponents, which you shouldn't, but it happens, and that's what the Sixers did. I felt like Ben Simmons was pretty consistent throughout the game, only two turnovers for him.
Right.
But pretty consistent. But then when it came time for your MVP to step up, he did that at the end of the game with two big plays. One, getting the turnover to really seal it. And then before that, he got the monster dunk. But I'm watching the game last night, and they win it good. And it was good to hear Brett Brown talk about it after the game, saying, look, I didn't like the mentality of not going to the rim and getting those fouls in the first half to go to the free throw line. Good. He acknowledged that. So I'm watching the game, and I'm thinking, okay, at least they won. Then I go to bed. I try to go to bed. Can't sleep. I get hungry. I get out of bed around 11:30.
Don't tell me they made nachos.
I made a nice plate of nachos.
Did you really?
A big old thing of the nacho. It wasn't huge. I'll just say this. I'm just like, you know what? I didn't really have a big dinner. So I'm going to get out of bed around 11:30, midnight, make some nachos, flip on Twitter. I'm scrolling a little bit and following Adam Schefter. And then there it is. Odell Beckham Jr. traded to the Cleveland Browns for a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and Jabril Peppers?
Yeah.
What? And I'm like, didn't they just sign him like 5-6 months ago to a record contract? They now have $16 million in dead money. I literally laugh at my phone as I am looking at Adam Schefter tweet this out and going, oh, not only am I up, but Adam Schefter, who we'll talk to at 8 o'clock today, he's up trying to track all this. Trey, when you saw that, what was your reaction to that?
I saw it. Graf, from one of our listeners. From media. He hit me on Twitter and was like, hey, man, Odell Beckham, because I usually check my phone right before I go to bed. And I'm like, what? Oh, wow. All right, here we go. You know, we didn't check to see if we can get Odell.
Right, we didn't kick the tires on that.
Let's go ahead and see if we can go ahead and get Saquon then. I mean, you know, if New York is just getting rid of guys, I mean, what's the deal? I mean, wow. You know, and then I just read this article that BLG from Bleeding Green Nation was talking about how the team is paying almost $33.7 million in dead money.
Yes.
That's crazy.
The Redskins, like I said, have been the dumpster fire in the NFC East for forever, it seems like now. Now the Giants seem like they're kicking the tires on that title. I can't get over it. And then I think back to all the problems that Pat Shurmur had throughout the year and how much he tried to mask that with Odell Beckham Jr. Like, to me, I can't understand for the life of me why you would give up who I consider to be the best wide receiver in football for draft picks and, you know, Jabril Peppers, for instance. I'm fine with it as a guy rooting for the Eagles. That's just nuts. But then the other part of free agency, or that was a trade, so the other part of the NFL offseason, I'll put it, was Le'Veon Bell going to the New York Jets. Now, there were different rumors and reports going around throughout the day, but then finally, late last night slash early this morning, it comes out that Le'Veon Bell is going to the New York Jets. And when you look at the deal for him, it's really not all that crazy. And when you look at that deal, $61 million is what it could be worth in total, $35 million guaranteed over 4 years, that's the deal. I'm looking at that going, Howie, can you hear me?
What happened there?
Talk about kicking the tires on Odell. Now maybe kicking the tires on Saquon Barkley. Why not kick the tires on Le'Veon there? I was a little surprised. It wasn't nearly as much as you thought it would be. You talk about the guaranteed money over those 4 years, $35 million. That's it. For a guy that originally, and we all knew he wasn't going to get it, $50 million over 2 years. What a night. What a night.
Yeah.
It was nothing short of it, of just incredible trying to follow the bouncing ball of the sports world yesterday. And then I'm driving home from here yesterday, right? So before I get home, right? Before I went to NBC, I'm driving in. And I'm listening to Anthony and Jason. And I hear our buddy Andrew Salchunas break the news about a couple of famous actresses involved in college sports.
Aunt Becky.
So now here's my thing.
I like that she got a little dirty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you really that famous if you're only referred to as one character that you played?
I mean, I know the name. I just prefer to call her Aunt Becky.
Lori Loughlin?
Yeah, Lori Loughlin.
Loughlin. All right.
Yes, she's married to the Massimo Clothing, fashion.
Oh, not Lululemon?
No.
The real fashion?
Remember Massimo from the 90s?
No.
Oh, you don't?
No, I really don't.
Really?
Yeah, what was that? What was it?
It was kind of like...
Did they make windbreakers? What was the deal?
It was kind of like skater-ish, like fashion in the 90s.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
That was a guy named Massimo?
No, that's not his name. That's the name of his company.
Oh, what's his real name?
I thought all Italians knew about the Massimo company. I don't know his real name.
So many
but
Massimos.
He married Aunt Becky.
And then, so I hear Andrew talking about the famous actresses, and then he also talks about a woman who was on a show in the late 90s, early 2000s, Desperate Housewives.
Who was married to William H. Macy.
Yeah. And it's like all these famous actresses, and I'm like, they're not household names. I have no idea what their names are.
Felicity Huffman is kind of household-ish.
I would know that that's an actress.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know
who she is. Yeah,
there's two actresses in my book, right? There's two like famous actresses in my world.
Kelly Kapowski.
No, okay, again, that's a character. All right, don't you talk about Tiffany Amber Thiessen? Actually, this is just Tiffany Amber. Oh, Tiffany Thiessen, I believe.
Tat to her friends.
Right. But if there's two actresses in my world, there's Jennifer Aniston and there's Glenn Close. That's pretty much it. Those are the two actresses I know.
Jennifer Aniston just turned 50 recently.
Well, if she did, great.
And she looks phenomenal.
See, of course. But you know, she's also talented.
I think Aniston. Oh, yeah, she did.
I think all the friends had the same birthday. I don't know. I think they all turned 50. I'm not sure. But anyway, it was just a crazy day in the sports world. And as you read and delve into the little scandal, it's like a record scandal. It's my first reaction is, okay, so parents are paying for their kids to get a good education and get, you know, into whatever, I guess. But then you think about the people that are shortchanged by this happening. Like maybe a kid that wanted to get on a crew team, because this wasn't what it was originally thought, which was, oh, maybe, you know, you think of college basketball, you think of college football. This is like them paying to be on a recruitment thing for, like, the crew team. Or volleyball or water polo, right? Mm-hmm. This wasn't anything that was hugely impacting the world of NCAA basketball or football, you know, the real home runs of that, the NCAA. Right. This was like the sidecar kind of thing, which is why they thought they could get away with it. So we're going to jump into all this, but last night mostly we're getting into the Sixers and what happened last night against the Cleveland Cavaliers, because we'll jump into that and how you can correct. As a coach, as a player, how you can correct turnovers. Because it is something that no matter what has continued to haunt this 76ers team. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I hope that we'll get into it. And who did Sam, was this you? Did you type up Betty White on the...
Yeah.
Okay, Betty White's a good one.
She's
right,
a classic.
Three. All right, so Jennifer Aniston, Glenn Close, and Betty White. Thank you.
Thank you.
Those are the three household actress names that I understand. Those are the ones that I'll say, you want to talk about famous actresses? Those are the famous actresses right there. You got something on that, Bob?
Blake Lively.
I'm just looking at you with a curious face.
Why is that?
So your three actresses, your go-to actresses,
well, you were
Jennifer
talking about
Aniston,
famous actresses.
Betty White, and who else?
Jennifer Aniston, Glenn Close.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't even know
Glenn Close?
Not like, I'll probably know her face.
She was just up for an Academy Award.
I'll probably know her face. I don't know her name.
She was in one of the greatest movies ever.
Which was?
I forget the name.
Don't criticize me, Bob.
No. What was the one where she killed the rabbit?
Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. Oh, man, that's a great movie. Yeah.
We've all dated crazy.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. We do have our question of the day, our Twitter poll, if you will, brought to you by Window Nation. Sam Wilson, what do you have?
We kept it a simple yes or no question today. Would you have done the deal for Le'Veon Bell that included 4 years max, $61 million, and $35 million guaranteed? We have just under 500 votes so far. 64% say no.
No? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Trey, you doing it?
Not after he heard his album.
Yeah, he just released his album this morning.
Oh, okay.
At 12 o'clock.
Have you heard it? Have you listened?
Yeah, we listened to some of it. Yeah.
Okay, how'd it go?
It's all the same.
And not good.
What? Every song on the album sounds almost the same.
Is it radio friendly?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure there's some expletives.
All her songs sound the same.
No, but even Adele's. Like, you know, it changes.
Her pitch
like
changes, his, whatever his is the
like,
same.
Like, everything is like, you know, we went through probably, six or seven songs?
Right, yeah.
And I think all of them sound like it could have just been one big
continuous
song.
Continuous song.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Right, Jamie, is this something that we can play?
Trying. iTunes issue and admin capabilities here. I can't get the iTunes on the computer.
You just ninja'd my brain. You just ninja'd my brain.
I can't download iTunes right now.
Trey, anyway, would you do the deal for Le'Veon?
How would I do the deal? I would rather spend money on the offensive line.
Okay. Bob, would you do the deal for Le'Veon Bell?
I think I would have, yeah.
Sam, would you have done it?
I would have, yeah.
Jamie Lynch.
It was cheaper than I thought it was going to be.
Exactly. I would have done it in a heartbeat. All right, coming up in a second, we'll jump into some things that went on with the Sixers last night. Try to understand how this was such a close game down the stretch with the Cleveland Cavaliers. The 17-win Cleveland Cavs. Time at the Fanatic, EA 613.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the Morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Tyler Zuli on the updates today. Yeah, that Andrew Salchunas character on the Mike Misnelli show yesterday. Awesome midday in his powder blue. Bryce
Harper
jersey. I love the powder blue.
I'm not a big fan for some reason. I don't know why.
From what I understand, when it actually came out, it was terrible. I think people hated it. That's what I'm told. I wasn't around for when it actually debuted a million years ago. But
before I was around.
Was it really? I thought Schmitty wore that and all that.
Yeah, he did, but it was there. I know when I was a little kid, that was what they were wearing on the road, the powder blue.
Oh, did people like it or did they hate it? Or do you not remember because you were a kid?
Yeah, back then it wasn't like it is today where people were so into uniforms.
Really, you guys
remember
in the 1980s or 70s, you guys didn't go on Twitter?
We didn't buy jerseys back then.
That is what I'll notice when I go back and watch old games. I look in the stands.
Rare.
And, like, everyone's in a sweater, but not, like, a jersey or anything like that.
Yeah,
like,
I was in my three-piece suit with my fedora and, you know,
there
pipe.
You go.
Yeah.
With a pipe.
Yeah, the pipe and all that.
What do you call it? Your wicker hat, whatever that is.
That when you smoke on planes, you know?
Yeah, right.
That's crazy.
That's
insane to me.
Considering I'm in an era where I'm just like, you should be, you know, thrown off the flight if you fart on an airplane.
Actually, the ventilation system's pretty
Stop
good.
Stop it.
Plane.
You're a liar.
You can get really...
I have been on many flights with you, and you have been like, someone is blasting ass.
Well, yeah. Some people just can't handle it. But
right.
But overall, if it's not like a room burner, You can get away with one
on a
flight.
Room burner. You don't know until after the fact anyway.
Yeah, you do a test early on in the day.
I have seen you threaten people on flights. Well, that's not true, but almost true. Anyway, so we were watching the Sixers last night. Speaking of something that stinks, right? The Sixers last night were infuriating.
Wow.
Me. Yeah, well, I mean, come on, Bob. Seriously?
Speaking of something that stinks.
Yes. In first quarter, they're out there dominating, making things happen. Right? Ben Simmons is throwing it down. James Ennis is making things happen for you. You're like, oh, Brett Brown, brilliant starting this man. This guy got things done for you. Mm-hmm. A little thunder jam for you in that first quarter. Things are looking up. The next thing you know, they can't get anything done. Nothing. They allow 30 points in the second quarter. Then they go into the first half. Second half, it's close. They don't even, like I mentioned earlier, they're not even a free throw. So no aggression in the first quarter or first half of that game in terms of going to the rim with authority, in traffic, trying to draw that foul. Nothing like that whatsoever. Second half, they struggle a little bit more, and then they're able to right the ship in the last minute of the game, really, where they really take control, and that comes down to Joel Embiid. But about 2 minutes and 50 seconds left in the game. This is what happened where the Cavs actually go up a point. Listen to this.
For the lead, here come the Cavs. Yeti Osman drives it, takes a hit by Scott, and puts it in. Cleveland leads 97-96.
Cleveland is leading the game with just under 3 minutes left. I'm thinking, they're going to watch this happen. Watch this unfold in front of us where they actually lose this game. And then, like, Moses through the Red Sea. Then, like, the clouds parting for a beautiful day. Joel Embiid is like, not on my watch, and just comes out and dominates from that point on. No better example than that thunder jam he had when he went through the lane, missed a little jumper in the middle of the paint, mm-hmm. got his own rebound, and then listen to this one from Tom McGinnis last night.
Embiid with 2 minutes around him, off-balance leaner. Nobody, but he dunks it. Oh, man. A powerful rebound putback.
Scott Van Pelt, every morning for SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt, does his best thing I saw today. Mm-hmm. That was the best thing he saw
really?
Today.
Did you see TJ McConnell's reaction on the bench?
Oh, I didn't, no.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. He's sitting on the bench and he just gets up and dives on the floor like, oh my God. Yeah.
It's all over Twitter. It's all over Instagram.
It was ridiculous.
I know NBC Sports Philly put the video out. Trey, that was like jumping out of your seat worthy.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was. I think one of the other things I saw is NBC Sports. They did a picture collage of everybody standing around him when he was going up for that dunk. That was pretty funny.
Yes, I saw that too.
The faces were great.
The faces
like, oh!
The Cleveland Cavs, Cleveland Cavaliers, as they were just watching him go up for that, like, mm-hmm. oh, the world's about to end. This is the apocalypse.
Yeah, the only thing that really hurt me, though, is when he took that three within, 2 minutes, I believe?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes my blood boil.
Mm-hmm. That's not the time for that.
Yeah. Like, but then when he went down low and started to work in his game, all right, there we go.
Yeah, and how about this? Ben Simmons goes to the free throw line. He hits one. A clutch one puts you up three in that game. Then the Cavs are able to pull it to two. Then you get the monster jam that you just heard right there from Joel Embiid to go up three. Embiid then ends up going to the line a couple of times, gets you some more points, gets you four more points, finished with 17 on the night and 19 rebounds.
Yeah.
Said after the game, though, he wasn't a big fan of his own game just because he turned the basketball over, I believe, six times in this game.
Which I was wrong. I said 22. It was actually 21.
Oh, the team. 21. Yeah, whatever. But Embiid himself, I think even after the game, he voiced his displeasure with his own ability. But Brett Brown talked about something that reminded me of our show yesterday. Because we had a caller call in to ask about this. And this was the turnovers on the dribble high handoffs between Joel Embiid. Jay, remember this?
Yeah.
Joel Embiid and J.J. Redick. I haven't noticed a lot, but last night it seemed like it was atrocious. Brett Brown was asked about those dribble high handoff turnovers last night.
I think the two areas that stand out the most is our dribble handoffs. Joel and J.J., you know, they really did a decent job of that. It stood out to me in that type of situation that Joel being back only a second game, it looked it. And then there were just some unforced stuff that was that needs to be fixed. You know, that was just a little bit too casual. We'll go back and look at it, but those two areas, the handoff stuff, I think we had six turnovers in that part of our offense. And I know that there was a handful of unforced turnovers.
So they're giveaways, essentially, then instead of turnovers. Like, when I notice a lot of turnovers, I mean, I notice it, I think we all do, with Ben Simmons when he's forcing passes down low. He's trying to make the spectacular pass instead of making a more, I don't know, fundamentally sound type of play. Mm-hmm. But last night, I don't know if they were just out of rhythm, they're out of sync, if they're still, like Brett was saying, trying to get used to having JoJo back after an 8-game absence. I mean, obviously he was back last game, but still trying to get on that same page. I don't know how to break it down, Bob, but to me it just seemed like they were out of rhythm.
Well, when you say that, oh, maybe it's, you know, they're a little bit out of sync, or, you know, because Joe's just coming back. Oh, really? And you're going to go into a playoffs with a starting five that's going to play a total of like 5 games together?
Right.
And you're talking about two guys that have been doing this all year. So for the people that say, oh, don't worry about it, you can put that starting five into the, you know, they'll be fine going into the playoffs. That's what concerns me. That is my biggest concern right now. Two things. One, where's the energy? There's just no energy with this team, and I don't know why. They're playing as if they're expected to win every game. You're playing a Cleveland team that played the night before, that used a great energy in beating a Toronto Raptor team the night before, and you come out with this kind of like effort of like, come on, let's go. Sunday I'm in the arena, and the arena was electric, and the team comes out and they're like walking in mud. Mm-hmm. And last night the same thing, and it's, you know, 12 points in the first quarter, that was great that you held them there, but you're only scoring 24, and then you let them come back almost immediately in the second quarter. This team needs to get a fire under its butt, and it needs to happen real soon.
This was an example, to me at least, of playing down to your opponent.
Yep.
You have a 17-win Cleveland Cavaliers team coming into South Philly, and you're already set on the third overall playoff seed. The Pacers, I believe, won again last night as well.
Yeah, they
so
did.
They keep pace with you. You still have that third overall seed in the Eastern Conference.
The Pacers keep pace.
Didn't even mean it. Sorry, folks. But to your point, Bob, about being sluggish, that's something else Brett Brown was asked about.
I think it felt like that, too. It didn't feel it in the first period. I thought, you know, we held them to 12 points. And, we started well. And then they jumped into it. Cleveland jumped into it 35 points. And I thought the Cleveland's middle two periods, that defense was, you know, a C minus. And I thought a sandwich, a first and a fourth was okay. But in general, I thought that there was a, we could have been more urgent for longer. And we weren't.
I hate even invoking the word urgency against a team like the Cavs. This is just a team you should take care of business. And they were able to do that, like I said, in the last minute or so of the game. They were able to show that, yes, they were obviously the better team. But Trey, you seem pretty adamant. This is an example of playing down to a team that you should be able to dominate.
Absolutely. I mean, when you go back and you look at how they have 21 turnovers compared to Cleveland's 7, you know,
yeah,
that's a problem.
I don't get it. I would look at this, if I'm Joel Embiid or I'm Ben Simmons. Look, Ben Simmons had himself actually a good game. Like, he was probably the most consistent player for the Sixers last night. Even J.J. Redick was... I've never seen J.J. Redick get as many open looks, like wide open looks, as he did in the first quarter. And he was missing. He was just off to start the game. Came on a little bit late. But Ben Simmons was probably their most consistent player start to finish of the game, and he put in 26 points. But I'm thinking, if I'm a team like the Sixers, third in the conference, and I'm looking at a team like the Cavs, I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to pad some stats. I'm going to show that we can be as dominant a team as we can be against a team that doesn't even have 20 wins on the season. And they didn't take advantage of that at all.
Yeah, that's the problem with it. When you go in and you look at a team that has a record of 17 wins, and you're like, all right, you know what? I could just wake up and whoop these guys, you know, and the energy level isn't there. And that's how you get caught slipping. And then next thing you know, you find yourself down. And then now you're like, all right, you in panic mode. And luckily they pulled that off.
Yeah, they absolutely did.
You know, that it happens in the NBA. And, you know, people are tweeting me like, all right, you know, good teams have bad games once in a while. I understand that. No big deal. But they haven't reached that culture point where Brett Brown wants them to be in of, you play hard every night. And look, we talked about this last week. I said that it was disturbing me, the lazy passes. Defensively, they're still getting beat off the dribble all the time. You know, it's just like things... I want to see it read. I want it to be a habit for them to come out and play hard, pass hard, move hard. And right now, it's not. And that concerns me.
Yeah, and see, that happens across all sports.
Yeah.
You know, people just playing down to the level and not just saying, all right, you know what? This is a team that shouldn't even be on the court with us. We're going to come out, dominate, and put our foot on their throat and don't let up.
Yeah, 24-12 at the end of one. Okay. Equate that to a New England Patriots team that's playing a bad Miami team that gets out 28-0 in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. It's not all of a sudden going to become, you know, a 35-28 game.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Those good teams that have that great culture of knowing how to win, whether it's New England, San Antonio back in the day, whoever it is, you step on the gas pedal even more. And right now, this team doesn't seem like they know how to do that.
I do have to tell our fine listeners here and callers that we do have a pair of Sixers tickets again, Trey.
That's good.
Giving away a lot of these. Pair of tickets to see the Sixers on Thursday night, March 28th against the Brooklyn Nets. And along with that pair of tickets, you'll get one spot in our annual knockout game on the Sixers court after that game against the Nets. You can register for that as well online at 975thefanatic.com on our contest page. But our callers of the day, and by the way, Sam is you know, taking the calls and all that stuff. She's screening the calls, and Jamie does a little bit too. But look, you call up. You got to bring something to the table. It's not just,
I want tickets. You can't call and flirt with Sam and want tickets.
Exactly. Bring it. Flirt with Sam, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sam ain't having that.
No,
none of that.
No, shuts it down.
Exactly. But you have, that's the general rule, I think, here at 97.5 The Fanatic. You got to bring something to the table. It's not just about, I want to call and win tickets. No, we're having a conversation here. We're talking sports. So bring something to the table, like I'm sure Brian and Soderden will do. Brian, what's going on, man? Good morning.
How you doing? I'm about to bring a whole Thanksgiving feast to the table.
I love it, man. What's on your mind this morning?
Two points, the Sixers and the Eagles. I love Brett Brown. I want to say that again. But he needs to show more pop, man. He has to hold his players accountable. Like, 21 turnovers, you're going to lose every single game in the playoffs. If you're playing the Cavs, any other team that you play, we're losing that game. Like, any other team that wasn't the Cavs, we're losing that game. 21 turnovers is unacceptable.
You're right, and he didn't. But hold on, when you talk about accountability, he called that out after the game, and not just talked about turnovers, talked about unforced turnovers. In other words, the player's fault. Like that is accountability. But you're right; it's not going to work in a playoff game. But at that point, what are you going to do? Are you going to take Joel Embiid out, who closed it out for you?
But what are the repercussions, though? Because there has to be some repercussions where you keep constantly making dumb unforced errors. So there has to be, like, all right, for example, teams are keying in on the Sixers. Do you know how lazy the Sixers are when they inbound the ball? They just flip the ball out. How many times did the Cavs come up underneath and try to steal the ball after a shot was made?
Mm-hmm.
The Sixers just roll the ball out. They don't even take time to physically make a pass after the shot is made. Like, teams are looking at the film on how lazy the Sixers are with the dribble handoffs, with the passes in the post.
Sure.
And they're taking advantage.
Okay, so you talk about accountability. You talk about accountability, right? Your repercussions, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to bench Tobias Harris and put in Mike Scott? What's your plan?
I mean, for 5 minutes, yeah, have a seat. That's what Pop would do. Have a seat next to me and we'll talk about it. That's what Pop would do.
Okay.
For example, there's one thing I tweeted last night. And I remember Pop saying this, but it wasn't an exact quote. He said more about free throws. He said, the next person that misses a free throw is buying me a new car. And he was talking to his players. Like, obviously he was joking, but that's the type of mentality that he has to be. Like, there is no excuses. We're trying to make a championship run, and 21 turnovers and playing lackadaisical, like Bob says, isn't going to do it. All right, and that's my Sixers point.
All
my
right.
Eagles point is, Jamie was talking about Mark Ingram. I'd rather trade for Jordan Howard. I also like Duke Johnson as like a low-key add-on and put on to what we have in our backfield right now. And if you want to give me the Sixers tickets, I'll take them.
Well, you definitely brought some to the table, Brian, so you're at least in the running for those. I'll tell you that. Now, I love Duke Johnson. We were talking about him last week. I mean, he's a guy who can obviously run between the tackles, and he's a guy who can catch the football out of the backfield.
I was just talking to Tyler about this. With Kareem Hunt being out an unknown amount of time, maybe 8 to 10 games,
right?
Is it a sure thing they move on from?
No.
I don't know. I like him and Jordan Howard. I'm not opposed to any of them.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And look, here's the thing that does worry me and why I would do the Le'Veon Bell deal that ended up getting him to the New York Jets is that, and we talked about this yesterday, and we'll talk about this up until the draft and past that, name the running back they've hit on. But name the running back that they've drafted, that they scouted, drafted, and they, all of a sudden he was actually getting you a lot of yards.
LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, right. Okay. How long ago was that?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
No, exactly.
The Deuce Daly.
How long ago was that?
Charlie Garner.
You're talking about
Ricky
guys.
Waters.
Not Howie Roseman. You're right. The Eagles in their history have had running backs, and they've drafted those running backs. But who is Howie drafted? Who is Joe Douglas drafted? Right now we're looking at Donnell Pumphrey. Yeah. Not impressive.
No.
They have had better luck on the undrafted market than they have at the guys they've actually tried with.
Well, frankly, yeah. Howie hasn't been able to draft wide receiver or running back very well. They do the rest pretty well, but the skill positions they struggle with.
No, they have definitely had their struggles, which is why I don't mind going out and getting a running back like that.
It's just such a tough position, though, to scout. When you look at guys in college and you're like, all right, well, hey, man, they're dominating in college, but then it just does not carry over to the professional side.
No, unfortunately not. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, speaking of some free agency, John Clark, Jeff Skavirsky, caught up with DeSean Jackson as he arrived at the airport last night. We'll let you hear that coming up in this next segment. A little after 7 o'clock, we'll play that for you. And then we'll continue to jump into everything with the 76ers. And despite some struggles, they did get the win last night. They did what they were supposed to do. They got the W against an inferior team, mm-hmm. although we didn't like the process itself, not Joel Embiid, but the process itself.
I hope y'all keep trusting the process.
Never going to not trust you, JoJo. But then JoJo and Ben showed that they can be a little lighthearted after a tough win, if you will. Time at the Fanatic 640.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning here on 97.5 The Fanatic. In this segment, let you hear from Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons after last night's game. Keeping it lighthearted, Trey. No sweat. They got the win. Have a little fun, despite 21 turnovers.
Yeah.
So they keep it lighthearted after the game. And DeSean Jackson touches down in Philly. See what I did there? We'll listen to that.
I see what you did.
You're fired.
Welcome aboard.
Pacers keeping pace in the Sean.
Man, he
is touching down.
How many
should be a headline writer for a newspaper, Mark?
How many terrible puns can I get in?
I have faith.
Two for two so far.
2 for 2? Yeah. That one was kind of intentional. B-Hawk, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Morning, B-Hawk. What's going on, brother? B-Hawk? Womp womp. Steve, South Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, I'm just a little frustrated with the Sixers. I'm tired of seeing Embiid playing higher than the elbow. That man should never come out of the paint except for a few handful of times.
Yeah.
Especially with the game on the line.
I was thinking about that last night, especially because Trey brought that up earlier in terms of not wanting to see him away from the basket. The shot he had at the last, two, 3 minutes left in the game? He shot a three?
2 minutes, I believe.
So I'm watching that last night, Steve, and my thought process was you give him two threes, within the first, first half maybe. If he makes them, we see where we go from there. But if he's having an off night, forget it. I don't want that part of his game.
No, he's most effective in the paint.
Yeah.
No question about it. And as far as I felt like I hadn't caught the game until the second quarter, and I watched 5 minutes. I said, they're dialing it in. And I turned it off and went to some. Too many times I see them dialing it in.
No, man, you gotta stick with them. You gotta see whether or not they have what it takes to actually right the ship, steady the waters, whatever, and actually pull this game out. They played down to their opponent, and then in the final couple of minutes, they finally played like the team they're supposed to be.
Yeah, I guess, but it's very frustrating. You think, oh, you're going to see a great game. They're, as Trey said, they're going to put their foot on their neck and crush them. And they're playing terrible. And it's hard to watch.
Yeah, this is we'll see what they do against the Kings on, Friday night they play next?
Okay, yeah, I agree. You know, I'll hang in, but it is frustrating when you know the Sixers have so much ability, and it looks like there's not that high level of effort.
All right, Steve, I'm going to put you in the running for our Sixers tickets. That's the thing that kills you, is that it does seem like they're lazy with the basketball a lot, Bob, like you were saying, yeah. And Brett Brown kind of talked about that also. Again, he highlighted the idea that it's not just them taking the ball away or making bad passes. It's actually unforced turnovers. It's being not even coaxed into a bad play. It's making a bad play. It's not even on them so much as it is on you.
Yeah, it's almost like you want to do the tennis thing and do the unforced error and show it to the team and say, like, look, this is what you're doing. The pressure's not getting to you. It's you committing these things on your own. And, you know, I've been saying it for weeks, like these lazy passes into the paint. Lazy. It reminds me of Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson never passed with meaning. You know, pass with meaning. He passed to get rid of the ball so he could get it back because he either used up his dribble, whatever it may be. They don't pass with meaning. And that's worrisome. And it's going to cost you in the playoffs. It leads to 21 turnovers against a bad team. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you in the playoffs. You got to start gearing up for the playoffs. And these last two games haven't showed me that that's what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Not a lot of effort there, unfortunately.
Yeah, because, I mean, right now, this is the dress rehearsal getting ready for the playoffs. I mean, you know, this is where you need to be sharpening the blade, and, you know, like you say, 21 turnovers, that's just way too much.
I always think about it like this, and I think most people do. When they face a team like this, it's not necessarily about this team. It's not about the Cavs.
No.
It's about, and we always use this for when you face the Golden State Warriors or the Houston Rockets, measuring stick.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a measuring stick game against one of the league's worst. It's not just about the league's best. It's about making sure you can. It's like treating this game like it should. Like you can take advantage of some things that they're going to allow you to do that other teams can't. Perfect example. You're not going to have 21 turnovers against one of the teams you're going to face in the playoffs and win.
Yeah.
They can get away with that with the Cavs. But this should be a game where they should be able to just have control throughout. This isn't a game that they should be treating, or a game where they're playing against an opponent that is so inferior to them that they should then meet them down at that level. This should be a game where they should establish themselves just like they can against the Rockets or the Warriors. They can establish themselves as one of the elite teams by taking care of business more so than the way they did last night.
It's kind of like you want the team to be, if during the series they catch the team kind of on the off night when they're just, you know, their opponents aren't just, you know, they're just cold. How aggressive are you going to be with a team that's down?
Right.
Are you willing to go ahead and just enforce your will on them?
Yeah.
They weren't able to do that last night. They were able to pull it out, which this isn't a game that you should look at and go, oh, well, they pulled it out. And they did, fortunately, because you don't want to lose this game. But this isn't a game where you should also be struggling to win. Now, we talk about pressure on this team. After the game, JoJo, Ben Simmons, take to the podium and at least show that they can, be a little lighthearted after this one. Listen to these two after the game.
Where do you think your conditioning is from where it was before you sat out?
Percentage? 69.
Well, let's talk about the dribble handoff game, two-man game with JJ. Is it the hardest to nail down in terms of...
What are you doing? Last question. Last two questions. Yeah, what's the question? That's the last question for
you.
That's the last question for you.
The best part, like, obviously the 69 joke was pretty good.
Yes.
Why are you leaving me?
Yeah.
I was dying. Because if you can't see it, Ben face palms when Joe actually says it and starts like chuckling under his hand and then just gets up and leaves. And we checked out the audio. It's Keith Pompey that's like, oh, we're not done here yet. And then Joe's like, why are you leaving me?
Yeah, that was good.
That's not the first time that JoJo's done that either.
No, he's a big fan of that.
I remember multiple times last year or back to back.
Conditioning when he came back.
He's always asked about that.
Yeah.
And look.
And Ben knows that.
If you know anybody where English is their second language, sometimes they'll give you the excuse. You know who was the absolute best at trying to use this excuse? Was Ozzie Guillen.
Remember this when he was managing the Marlins?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was talking about like how great Fidel Castro was. And it was like, oh, well, to explain that, I was thinking in Spanish and trying to speak in English. And I just mistranslated what I was saying. And I was like, sure, you did tons of fun. Whatever you want, whatever, however you want to go. So sometimes with English as the second language, people will use, not use the excuse, but sometimes it's legitimate. Like, I'm trying to think in one language and speak in another, right? So JoJo has used that multiple times. Oh, well, you know, English is my second language, and I didn't grow up here. I don't understand those references. I think he understands those references.
Yeah,
fine.
I think he gets that a little bit.
And I know it's immature. I know it's silly. I know we make jokes about that all the time.
69 is an amazing number.
It's a universal number. It's understood in all languages.
That's right.
Yeah.
What is it called? An anagram where it's upside down, backwards, the same, all that stuff?
Yeah, something like that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.